Time for the latest in our series, Latin Roots, on the World Cafe today, where we look and hear about, well, all different styles and types of Latin music. And I'm really happy today to welcome Felix Contreras, who's host of NPR's online music show Alt Latino, which I'm sure you've checked out already, but if not, you should, because he's going to talk about Boogaloo. And I've always been interested in Boogaloo, but maybe tell people what it was. It was kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, you know, it was a mixture of influences. You know, Boogaloo was considered by some as the first New Eureka music, and New Eurekans being Puerto Ricans, people of Puerto Rican descent, born in New York as opposed to the island. So let me set the scene. It's late 50s, early 60s, and Puerto Ricans and Cubans in New York are listening to, you know, the end of doo-wop and R&B, and they're also listening to the mambo and cha-cha-cha of their parents.
Which I would expect wasn't particularly hip.
Well, you know, it was Tito Puente, Machito. Yeah, you know, those guys were once cutting edge, but at that point they were like middle-aged, you know, not exactly on the cutting edge, but, you know, still out there working. And what happened was that African-Americans and Latinos mixed on the bandstand for the jazz gigs, the Latin dance music gigs. And there's a legendary story of how Herbie Hancock was working with Mongo Santamaría. And he, on a break, he's doodling with a song, and Mongo says, you know, hey, wait. Don't stop playing that. Keep playing. And he plays along with them and works it up right there on the spot, and a classic is born. It was Watermelon Man by Mongo Santamaría.
There is a classic, Watermelon Man by Mongo Santamaría, a collaboration, really, I guess, between Herbie Hancock and Mongo Santamaría. What year was that?
That was about 1963. And it was, you know, a very early and influential song. Another influential song was about the same time was a song called El Watusi from the Latin band leader Ray Barreto. Those two songs were a very early, blatant attempt at crossover. And, you know, and it speaks to the relationship between the Latin music community and the mainstream record industry at that point, you know, the promoters and the media, because these guys felt like, you know, they're working their community, they're working their clubs, they're working their, you know, radio stations. But if you cross over to the mainstream, it's going to allow them to make a little bit more money, make it easier to make a living. And it's always been interesting to me that Ray Barreto always played down that song. In his career, he kind of saw it as a novelty. I mean, I saw him once sort of like, you know, I wish I could forget about that song. It wasn't a significant part of his legacy, but sociologically it was very important because in the 1960s, that form became very popular. It was ubiquitous. There were all kinds of bands doing the music. They were in clubs. They were on the radio. You know, band leaders like Johnny Colon, Willie Bobo, and the Joe Cuba Sextet, they all had successes with it. In fact, in 1966, Joe Cuba Sextet had a hit with the song Bang Bang, which was written by a guy named Jimmy Sabater, who just passed away last month in New York.
Something like that, Bang Bang. You say that some of these people, including Ray Barreto, were not particularly proud of these songs, and yet, in some cases, they made whole careers out of these Boogaloo songs. What happened to Boogaloo after this initial burst in the 60s?
It was a combination of things, David. You know, it was like by the end of the 60s, it had pretty much died out. And it was principally because it was a fad. You know, fads of any type are going to run their course. And at the same time, you know, it was looked down upon the quote-unquote serious musicians who played, you know, dance music or Latin jazz. You know, and there's also been rumors of the older musicians sabotaging the people who are the younger musicians who are having successes with Boogaloo, because they were taking all the gigs, they were getting all the club dates. Older musicians started allegedly blacklisting bands and musicians from gigs and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of spooky intrigue that's all part of the rumor.
Is it still influential today? Can we look for this beat, this style?
Yes and no. I mean, first of all, by the time it died out in the late 60s, it was a precursor to the explosion of what you guys have talked about on Latin Roots, salsa, which was mostly New Eureka musicians who created and performed for the legendary Fania Records. And it was like a modernized version of a traditional dance form, the dance music. So Boogaloo sort of set the scene for that, you know, set the scene for, you know, an artistic expression by a group of musicians taking control of the means of production, really, music made for and by Latinos. Now, recently, there's a lot of younger DJs. These club DJs now are going back and digging for gold. They're crate diving. And these are some of the grandkids of that first generation, you know, remixing the music with house music and electronica. And the example I brought is from a band called Latin Bitman. And this is a guy named Eric Bobo. And his father was Willie Bobo. So he grew up with all this music. He grew up with that style. And he's like revamped it. He's pumped new life into it by mixing it with all the stuff that he's grown up with.
From Eric Bobo, you can see where what we're talking about today, the Boogaloo, lives on. Felix Contreras, a final thought on this style.
You know, I got to be honest. When I was first discovering Latin music and really getting into the salsa, I didn't really appreciate and sort of looked down myself at Boogaloo. It was like, it wasn't exactly hardcore. It wasn't the traditional form that I was hearing with some of the guys from Fania, what they were doing. But looking back on it now, the more I know about music, the more I can see I can put it in a broader perspective. And most significantly, one of those first hits by Monga Santamaria, Watermelon Man, because, you know, Monga's grandfather was from Africa. And in my mind's eye, Watermelon Man closed the circle on the two strands of African diaspora that came from the U.S. and from the Caribbean. And I've always felt like it's a profound statement of the influence of Africa in our music here in the U.S.
Felix Contreras, our guest today on Latin Roots. He is the host of NPR's online music show, All Latino. Check it out at npr.org. Felix, thank you so much.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun.
Felix Contreras, our guest on Latin Roots today on the World Cafe.